I'm the ringleader, so I have to point the way. We are now recording, so if there's anything that you can't say that's classified or whatever, now's the time not to say it.
Well, you know,
here's my social security.
I didn't say that. I'm just talking.
Well, if you're talking, you need to hear.
No, you're good.
No, you just give it to me when I want to say something.
When you want to say something? Yeah. You know what happens when? Whoa, that's see. It didn't light up though.
Bro, you look at that thing's off the Richter scale.
It's well, you know.
Look at
how
that thing, man. If that was an earthquake generator tester thing, you'd be like, Japan would be in the ocean right now.
You know how I am though.
What on earth?
You gave me those three donuts. Okay.
I gave you two
donuts. I ate three donuts today.
Where'd you get the third one?
From you, sir. You gave me your donut.
I got two.
You
got two. I didn't know you got two.
Yes, I got two.
Okay.
And then you gave me your third one.
I didn't know you got two.
Yes.
Okay, well, we're not talking about donuts today. We're going to talk about there's some nuts out there, but we're not going to talk about them. Hopefully not them either. We're going to talk about balance. Balance. Who's supposed to bring back the balance? Sean?
Well... Well, there was a prophecy,
right,
of the chosen one that will come to bring balance to the force.
I love it.
However, it would seem that the Jedi misinterpreted that prophecy, possibly.
Yeah,
because it ended up being almost
creating a monster,
almost a total annihilation of the Jedi Order.
Correct.
So. However, they did bring it upon themselves because they were basically unbalanced.
Yes.
In the Force.
Yes. Yes. That is good.
They became, instead of following the will of the Force, right?
Mm-hmm.
They allowed themselves to become political pawns of the Republic.
Yes.
And so it limited their interaction with the Force.
Mm-hmm.
It limited their focus and their vision in the Force.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And a lot of personal feelings was involved in making that decision also.
Right. So their strict, rigid ideology and their devotion to that kind of limited them so they couldn't grow.
Mm-hmm.
And be flexible or
yes.
anything like that.
Yes. So. Even that's funny. I don't know why we're talking about Star Wars. Star Wars is like one of the greatest. I love Star Wars.
Pull it away.
Do what away?
Pull it further away.
Pull it further away?
Just a little okay. bit. Not that much.
Because I can barely hear myself. That's why
fine.
I'm so
that's
loud.
Because she, I had her.
You had her up. Yeah. I had her mic.
So do I need to turn it down?
Turn my mic up so I can hear me, so I can yell at myself instead of yelling at you guys. But anyway, even when what you notice when Yoda fought with Palpatine at the end,
closer,
he told, I can hear it. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah,
so he even told Obi-Wan, the Sith, I failed to learn to adapt. He failed to learn to the Sith. They learned that they needed to adapt to stay around.
That's correct, yes.
And he was so rigid, and that's what happened to people. Their balance get off because they're not willing to change.
Yes.
And fluctuate with the time.
Yeah, yes. Not change with the times. Yes, yes.
And we were talking about it. You don't have to compromise your values to become a better version of yourself.
True.
So many times people think, well, I don't want to compromise. But it's not compromising. It's about improving yourself.
Right.
What kind of counterweight that you can add to keep yourself balanced?
Yes.
Because the older we get, our bones, our density, things begin to happen. And we know the food that we have. Mm-hmm. We can't get a balanced meal today.
Right.
So you have to add some kind of supplement.
What did Will Ferrell say in Elf? What are the four food groups?
Oh, that's one. Sugar.
Candy, sugar, and syrup, and something else. No.
candy, corn.
Yeah, you're
candy,
right.
Candy, canes, and syrup. Something
that
like
was
that.
What it, I think that's it, right?
Elf was a fantastic movie, by the way.
Yes.
That's good.
Complete classic.
Right. So when you talk about balance, every time we talk about balance, I think of three things that has to be balanced for any human to be right, and that is spiritual, mental, and physically. You have to, if one of those are off, you're off. It doesn't matter. You know, and people, well, I'm spiritual. Okay, that's good, but.
I think when people use that term, they're spiritual, I don't think they're using it correctly.
Correct. Because most of the time they're talking about
nature. Most of them go with their feelings.
They're talking about, well, just like going back to the Jedi, they're more focused on, well, I'm in touch with the nature. I'm in touch with, but it ain't. It's not the creation. It's the creator.
Right.
They're not. There's no connection with the creator, And that's why they're so off.
Yeah, that's a good point, because balance is only balance in reference to what the bottom line value system is. You could be balanced on some other scale and some other system, and it just be a wrong system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And and that's what a lot of people do, is they've got these great physical workout things that are going on with them. They figured out ways to make money and career success, and they figured out, you know, lots of different things to enhance their life, and they may even have like a quasi spiritual balance, not a Christian spiritual balance, but like a, you know, they can meditate and they can, you know, calm themselves and stuff like that. But even with all that being said, it's on the wrong scale system, and that is the reason why God gave us his word, so that we could measure ourselves against the word of God instead of against, you know, other ideas of what a balanced life is.
Right. And to what you're saying, what are we trying to balance doing? Because that word balance means equal or same amount. Okay, what kind of? Because people can say my life is balanced. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to have a job. I'm at peace. But what kind of balance? What are we trying to balance? That's the.
Well, let's go back. Let's step back to like the last few shows, and we were talking about the pendulum, right?
There you go.
And so a pendulum, you know, works on balance. It works on weight. It swings one way. It swings the other way, and it requires inertia to keep it swinging. Because if you don't give it inertia, eventually it's going to start, you know, coming back to the center point.
Correct. Right?
And so, to have proper balance from the pendulum perspective would be to be at peace, to be settled at the right place in between all these other competing ideas. And so what's happened over the last few years is that, like we said, one side pushes one way dramatically, and then the other side pushes the other way dramatically.
Right.
And then everything's just bonkers. It's just swinging radically each way.
Correct.
What you got, Sean?
Would you say that balance is peace?
Right, yeah, and I was thinking about this this week, is that, you know, what do I consider balance?
Yes.
And I was thinking, you know, and the thing that can't keep coming back to my mind is the peace of the Lord, is just being at peace. Because a lot of people, they even know about the Lord, they know what God is, you know, wanting in their life, and they know what God is trying to do in their life, but they still don't have peace.
Right.
right? They're still like concerned about things that are going on. And I used to be the same way as a young Christian. Mm-hmm. I used to have problems with anxiety and things like that. And now the more I go along and the more you know about God, the more you realize that it's not God's will for us to be anxious. It's not God's will for us to be strung out and worried and concerned. Mm-hmm. Not that we don't have responsibilities in life, but also on the flip side, to just know that, you know, God's in control. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, and we've got all these things flying around our heads nowadays with all this, like that video we watched yesterday, mm-hmm. where, you know, you've got so much input coming in that it's hard to just calm yourself,
right,
and just step away. And that, like, that video was really good because it talked about fasting and it talked about, mm-hmm. you know, social media fasting and mm-hmm. and just trying to get yourself to, you know, what you got, sis?
Oh, I was just saying that's needed, social media fasting. Fasting from, like, technology. It's terrible. It's like brain rot. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
Junk food for your mind.
It's dangerous, yeah.
Yeah.
And it works. I mean, it's amazing. It just works based on our minds, the way our mind works, that dopamine hit, you know, that we keep trying to trigger that feeling of satisfaction, you know, oh, I got a like or whatever. We've gotten to a place where we're liking each other's stuff just so that we can get to feel like we're all participating in liking ourselves.
Yeah. You know, I hear a lot about that. You know, and I don't claim to be an anomaly or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, in my early days of using Twitter and Facebook, I don't use Facebook much anymore. Usually, I just get notifications from, you know, people's birthdays, and that's about it on Facebook. But as far as Twitter is concerned, maybe it's because I have an affinity for it and a like for it.
Yes.
There was a point where I wanted to accumulate a lot of followers, and I have, like, you know, a couple of thousand followers, but that's you get to a point where it's like, okay, what do you really want to use the platform for? What do you want to use this for?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's more of a tool. I get news. I also get a little bit of entertainment from it. Also let off a little bit of steam from it, you know. But
it's okay. Keep going.
No, you're good. That's good. Yeah.
But
you got to see how you're coming. See how I'm pinging on there. How you can clearly see that line. How you can clearly see that graph.
Okay.
And you see before that's you.
Okay.
Kind of little dribble, 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 and then boom, right. boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Let's try to keep it in the middle somewhere. That's why I'm turning you up. If I have to turn your headphones down, I can do it.
Okay. Wait. Anyway, but
no,
you.
Good.
Anyway, I think. Because sometimes people have a negative opinion about, you know, Twitter or social media or whatever.
Right. Yes.
And I think perhaps instead of listening to because there's a big crowd that,
yes.
you know, says negative things about, you know, that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand, at least for Twitter, it's only as bad as you allow it to be.
Thank you.
Because you only follow.
Mm-hmm.
the people that you won't follow, and you get their content. Mm-hmm. If you're getting bad content, perhaps don't follow. Take a look at who you're following.
Right.
So
yeah, well, even our church uses social media to, you know, get the message out. I'm
right.
not saying that social media in and of itself
yeah,
is some evil.
Right.
The thing is that you have to clearly understand how it affects your mind.
Right.
Know that you're not becoming, you know, susceptible to that.
Right.
Children totally, you know, they don't have the, I don't think that they totally have the capacity. I'm sure there's mature children out there that do. But in general, you know, they don't have the capacity to moderate it.
Right. Well, that's where parents are for.
Right. Of course. But
in general, the youth is not.
They're not prepared for it.
Equipped
right.
to
right.
deal with. What they're seeing.
And it's well, also warping their minds, too.
Well, to be quite clear, we're in a totally different era of history than
yes.
even when I grew up in, you know, I was born in 77, so I grew up in the 80s and in the 90s. So it's a totally different world from then. mm-hmm. now, yes. these days. And so, you know, people who are, you know, parents now, they have a, I don't envy the job they have in raising children today. No. I would not want to be a kid growing up these days, and I wouldn't, there's a whole lot of.
Okay, so let's stay with what you were saying about the balance. A parent's supposed to be a counterbalance for their kid.
Yes.
And even with the social media, what are we trying to balance? What you said it. What are we trying to get out of this? What is the main goal? And if you're not getting that main goal, you need to adjust what. That's what you were saying.
Yes.
You know, and so many times we want something, but we're not willing to adjust to get what we want.
Right.
And we're wondering why am I so off? Well, step back and look at what's missing.
Yes.
What do I need to take out? What do I need to add to keep it balanced? And you can have balance can be for anything, not just joy, not just peace, not just love. I mean, there's categories. What are you weighing, mm-hmm. basically? What are you weighing? What weight do you want? If you want 100 pounds and it's weighing 120 pounds, guess what you need to do?
Take
20 pounds off.
Right.
That is so simple, but yet so complex for people.
Well, you know, this is the thing that I think of based on this conversation, and that is that what this is the word that just keeps popping up in my mind based on this conversation that you're having, and that's discipline, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So we, yes. And this kind of goes to the core of man. Man is not a balanced person to begin with, and so therefore, for us to have any semblance of balance, we must fight ourselves.
Correct.
Yes. We have to fight our own personal cravings, our own personal desires, and bring them into subjection to a different measure for us to be in balance. And even people in the world will acknowledge this.
Right.
You know, that if they, you know, they'll say, you know, you what? How's that term go? You have to, if easy decisions lead to a poor life, hard decisions lead, how does that phrase go? I can't remember how it goes. It's like easy decisions today lead to a hard life tomorrow.
Right.
Hard decisions today lead to a good life later.
Right.
Something like that.
So to your point of it's more than discipline. Sometimes a constraint is making hard decisions. That's not easy because, again, going back to what Sean said, what is the purpose? What are you trying to get out of this? What is the element, the element that you're trying to get out of? Mm-hmm. Because so many times, even from the beginning, okay, and we got preachers here, and I'm about to make this bold statement. Even from the beginning, man was not perfect when God first made him. You know why? Because mm-hmm. if man was perfectly by himself, why did God say, it is not good for a man to be alone? If everything was balanced, why did he make that statement?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, what did he do? He added something to Adam's life. Mm. So many times we don't want to. Sister made a comment last, you guys was talking about people argue about things. They argue about their feelings. They don't argue about what is fact. This is brown. This is brown. For the people who don't, I know this is hotter. This is brown. And so many times people want to argue, well, I don't feel like that's brown. I feel like that's blue. And you get in an argument like she said, well, you who gives you the right to say that I'm not balanced? Well, the facts. You're not happy.
Right.
So there's something's missing, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to hear that. Who gets to tell you that I'm balanced? Well, let's put it on the scale. Let's put it on the joy scale. Let's put it on the peace scale. When you're at peace, there's certain things that happens when you're at peace. there are certain things that there's facts that comes about. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when we're thinking of the idea of discipline and balance, we also need to think of the word moderation, because you need all of these things, but too much of one thing is not good. Even spiritually, what did Reverend Davis used to say? Too heavenly minded to be any earthly good.
That's right.
Like that you can be super spiritual, and that's great. Yes. Everyone wants like the model super spiritual apostle Christian. I mean, that's awesome.
Right.
But if it's no good to other people and the situation that you're in, then what good are you?
Right.
And so it comes with everything, like everything that you have.
I like this idea of a moderator. I like this, not just the fact of moderation, you know, the doing of the moderating, but the insertion of a moderator, that there is a voice that says, you have to do this to stay balanced. You have to do this because it's the right thing to do. I know one man said it's like having the internal slave driver in you or having the internal drill sergeant inside of you. You know, you will do this. This is what you have to do. That there has to be a voice outside, not necessarily outside of you physically, but from a third person perspective. Like, this is one of the great things about, well, not just that, even ourselves, we can speak to ourselves in the third person.
Right.
This is a very odd psychological thing that, you know, they study even today, is how do we do this? How can we look at ourselves from a third person perspective? But having that third person perspective on ourselves, to look at ourselves and to analyze ourselves, analyze the weights and how we're leaning or whatever, to see ourselves from a third person perspective and be able to be a mediator or a in between person that is, you know, for the best in your life, right?
Yeah.
They're there for the best reasons in your life, and they're going to say, you have to go this way, you have to go further this way to get balanced. You know, you're too far on this side of X or whatever.
Yeah, like an analytical look at yourself, analyzing.
Not just that, but also a, I don't want to say harsh love, but, you know, like a, you know, hard love type demanding, like, you know, a driver that will drive you to put your life in balance, right? Because the only person who's going to lift up the weights and move them on a balance is going to be you.
Right.
You know, it's very seldom, like, that was one of the wonderful things about being in the Army, was there was always someone there to make you do PT. There was always someone there to make you, you know, do the things that you had to do. When you get out of the Army, that person doesn't exist anymore unless it was you.
Right.
Right? And that was one of the things about, like, the Special Forces people, is that they find people who can internally motivate themselves.
Self-starters.
To do self-starters. Yeah. And self-planners and people who can make themselves do the right thing when no one else is around. And so we have to become, through the help of the Lord, through, you know, obviously from a Christian perspective, from the help of the Lord, but even in general, you have to be like this, what was the word we used? A mediator, moderator? Moderator. We're using the word moderator. This in-between person that is almost like, you know, looking from the outside as a bystander and just being critical about, well, you're not, you know, you need to be more this way, you need more that way.
Yeah, that's really hard to do, though.
How about Reverend Olson?
Well, you got to be willing to be honest with yourself.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. Getting back to the fact.
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose? What is the goal? Where am I trying to get to? Because it's easy to say, hey, I want to get to Seattle, but you're driving on I-5 South, going. I'm on the freeway. I'm on I-5. It says I-5. If I go I-5, I'm gonna get to Seattle. The balance is, it's hard for us, and I'm me. It's hard for me to see myself sometimes as I am, because we build this image of ourselves We build this image of ourselves that we're something, and it's not even adding up. You want to get to 100, and you're like at 30.
There was that cartoon in the trumpet where the guy's looking in the mirror, and he only sees this part up.
Yes.
So I still look like I was when I was 20, and then like down below he's got this huge gut.
What did Pastor Davis used to say? If you really want to see yourself, get a full mirror, full-length mirror.
And what does the Bible say about itself?
Exactly.
We look into the Word of God, and it shows us who we are.
Right.
So there has to be a constant
a reckoning.
Evaluation of what we're doing. Right. There has to be if you really want to be balanced.
You got to look at the scales.
Every day. Every day. Yeah. You should be like, because if you don't, you don't know if you're improving or not. You don't know if you're going up or down. Mm-hmm. So many times people, they just go on with life. Well, I'm going to get there eventually, preacher, if I keep walking. Well, which way are you walking? Right. Have you stopped and pulled out the compass? Come on, military people. How valuable was that compass? How valuable was that compass when you was out in, I never forgot this one time they dropped us out in the woods. And the only thing we had was a compass and a map, and it was dark. We walked right into an ambush. I mean, we walked right in. We were so way off. We were so far off. But having that compass, that balancing tool that told us that's north, but we need to go south. We're safe.
That's an interesting concept of needing an external measure to let us know.
That's what you were saying earlier.
An external measure to let us know. Not just ourselves looking at ourselves as a third person, but you know the key to a balanced scale is having proper weights.
Correct.
Right. And so we may think we're balancing ourselves. We may be using an improper scale. Mm-hmm. We may be using improper weights. Go ahead, sis.
That Bible verse just came to my mind. I weighed you in the scales and still you have
Found you for wanting.
Yeah, found you wanting.
Many, many tekel.
So the need for mankind is a balanced relationship with God, and that'll balance the rest of your life out.
That's it.
Because if you're walking right with God, perfect in love before him, he'll show you exactly. He'll put his finger right on every single sin, right down to the little nitty-gritty ones.
Listen to this scripture. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We're talking about that video about, you know, the having to exert pain in some type of pain in our life to contradict the dopamine hit of the good feelings. You can't just soak yourself in only good feelings. You have to soak yourself in painful feelings to contradict that, to balance your
My aunt always out. Used to say that if you didn't have bad times, then you would never know how good the good times were.
Right.
So, like, it makes you appreciate.
You have no appreciation for the good times.
Yeah, it makes you appreciate when everything's at peace. Right. And, like, if you have good health, boy, when you're sick, there is nothing else that you can think about.
Did you watch the video?
No.
Okay, so the dog. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That they did an experiment on the dog by shocking him, and at first he would defecate himself and urinate himself, and what happened was over time the dog just started becoming prepared for the pain, and then not only that, once the pain was relieved, the dog was very readily ready to embrace and be joyous and be happy with the people. Because it was like, I'm through that part. I've gotten over that hump.
Oh, wow.
They describe it as, and this isn't a dog, they describe it as a fit of joy that he experienced, that dog experienced once he was released from not only the, I think he was, not only were they, shocking the dog, but it was also in constraints as well. So once he was free from all that, then experience what they called a fit of joy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kind of similar to, like those people who were in concentration camps. That the way they survived through that was thinking forward of when they were going to get out and how they were going to behave.
Right.
Like that grandpa whose kid came and says, "Grandpa, why do you put like a quarter inch of butter on your biscuit every morning? Oh, you know that's going to hurt you." He said, "Honey, let me explain something to you. When I was in the concentration camp, I said, if I ever get out of this place, I'm going to put a quarter inch of butter on every biscuit I ever eat."
Right? Wow.
And yeah. So just having that future joy ahead, that's kind of interesting, because isn't that what Jesus said? For the joy that was set before him,
yes,
he endured the cross.
Despising yes. shame.
So there was a need to endure the cross, but there was also joy that was going to be received because of that painful experience.
And the video was great, and that bothered me, because it kind of make it sound like, oh, you need to go do something hard or make something hard happen to you. I more thought of it as, it's hard to do the things that need to be done. So many times we avoid the hard things. Not that it's hard to do them because you don't want to do them. There's no desire to do them.
It just reminds me of Romans 8, talking about the battle of the flesh and the spirit. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Who shall be able to deliver us from this body?
Well,
yes. Right. Well, Paul, right, in Romans 7, Paul talks about the internal struggle
that
he had. The
constraint, trying to constrain that self, that sin. She mentioned it. There's a balance between it has to happen in a man and it's a sin.
Let him roll with chapter 8 real quick, if you don't mind, because you had a thought line going there, chapter 8.
It is.
Oh, it just left me. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Keep going.
And that was what I was saying. You know, we have these. We're made of two. Even as Christians, there's a battle that goes on constantly. You talking about balance? It's that Christian life doing right, and then it's that flesh. It's this thing that we live in that is. You mentioned it. All it wants to do is eat, sleep, and do the things of the world.
Right.
I mean, I hear people always boast about, well, I can do this in the world. And I said, that's easy. I'm not star-stricken by people who accomplish things in the world. That's easy because the flesh will adjust to that. What about that spiritual being right with God and doing the right thing before the Lord? That's a constraint.
I'm going to throw one at you. You ready? The dog that you feed the most is the one that wins.
That's exactly what came to my mind.
Yeah,
when he was saying that.
Yes.
You know, there's two dogs within you. You know, the one that you feed the most, the one you give yourself to most.
Yes.
That's the one that's going to grow.
Yes.
You know, you can only
walk after the flesh. You will reap the.
Reap the benefit.
From the flesh.
From the flesh, yes. Right. But if you give yourself to the spirit,
correct. And that's that balance. You really. I mean, as Christians, we want the balance to be unbalanced. We don't want to be in the flesh. Mm-hmm. We want the spirit to have more control.
Well, being in the spirit, that's the balance.
Right.
Right there. That's
remaining in that state.
Right. That's the balance state right there. That's the state that, first of all, that's the state that we should be in. Mm-hmm. That was the state that we were created to be in to begin with.
Yes.
You know, talking about, you know, in Isaiah 26:3, talks about how, you know, talks about that perfect peace.
Mm-hmm.
How's it attained or maintained? Is that your mind stayed on Him?
Stayed on Him
because you trust in Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that perfect balance of peace and that perfect just whatever. It's only achieved, maintained, when you keep your mind on Christ.
Correct.
And you stay doing His will. and in his spirit.
Right. And the thing about that is that when you get in that zone, say for instance you get in that zone, mm-hmm. there is this tendency to relax and say, "Oh, I'm in the zone," right? And then you slip right on out of it.
Well, that's so good. Well, see,
right back into the flesh.
I disagree with that though. Then okay. you're not in the zone. If you're in the zone, you're in the zone.
You focus.
Mm. You're focused. I don't want to contradict. I'm not trying to contradict what you're saying. Mm-hmm. When you're in the zone, you're in the zone. There, mm-hmm. you're not worried about what's going. Peter walked on the water. Why? Because he was focused on Jesus. Right. What happened when he took his mind off of Jesus? He fell.
Right.
Yeah. But why did he take his mind off of Jesus?
Because he started looking at what was going around him. He got out of the zone. He got out of the zone.
Right. He got over there in the water. He said, "Hey, look, I'm walking on the water."
You get to a level of comfortability, and then it's easy to just like
drift.
I know what you're saying. Because you're just. You're comfortable. You're like, "Oh yeah, we got this. We got this." And then bam, Satan, something right. happens and you're.
Be wary when you think you stand, lest you fall.
Exactly. Right.
But that's the whole deal of, it's every day, going back.
Yeah.
Checking that compass.
Keep going back to the mirror.
Checking the compass. Right. You walk so far, mm-hmm. but then you check the compass. Okay, are we still going north? Or are we still going east?
Mm-hmm. You know, you could. If you don't check the. You know, your compass, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You can be thinking you're still going in the same direction, but it looks like you're going in the same direction, but you're steadily right, veering totally off. Yeah.
Yes.
Have you ever watched, like, I'm sure everyone here has to some extent watched a documentary on war?
Yeah.
And you know, like, how they always use this term parallel. Mm-hmm. They cross the 48th parallel or whatever. Mm-hmm. What is, first off, what is a parallel?
Same way.
Yeah, that's right. Two but in the term, way. in the term of warfare, what is a parallel? It's a line. It's a line where the two armies meet each other. Right. Yeah. Right. You're right. It's parallel. There's one line of the military here below, and there's another line of the military above meeting each other. And that's why they're called parallels, because the armies are meeting each other at a certain point. And if you watch any, like, war, you see these parallels move, you know, where one army pushes up, another army pushes down. Mm-hmm. And so to keep balance, you have to constantly keep pressure against that correct. Parallel.
Correct.
Right? Because if you don't, the other one's going to push right down in on you and just crush you.
So going back to what you was talking about being in the zone, that when you're in the zone and you're pushing up, you get that you're there. It's like you say again, the reason why Peter fought, he quit trying. He just you're saying it, comfortable. I'm comfortable. I talked to the Lord today, so everything's good. I could just go ahead and do whatever I want to do.
Listen to this word. The Bible says, "Resist the devil and he will flee."
Correct.
So you resist the devil.
Well, first of all,
he runs.
You're supposed to submit.
Yeah. Submit yourselves to the Lord.
Good.
Right, I agree with that.
You can't resist without submitting.
Hello.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes. So let's follow this line right here, going back to what I was saying. Okay. You submit yourself to God.
Right.
You resist the devil.
Correct.
He leaves.
Uh-huh.
Right? Uh-huh. And then you stop submitting because you're like, "Well, I'm free now. I ain't got nothing to worry about."
That's
and then the devil comes back in, right?
That's the problem.
And just ramrods right through your line of defense.
That's the problem.
Right? Because what did he say about, you know, when the city has no walls, the enemy just comes and goes as he pleases?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just...
But that's the balance is you, again, you got to go back and check the compass. Am I going the right way?
How long did the Israelites spend in the wilderness? 40 years, because they refused to check their compass.
Right.
To make, you know.
So many times, you know, getting back to the constraint, the discipline, the doing what I need to do to stay focus on the goal. It's not easy. I'm not going to. Being balanced is not easy. Staying balanced is not easy.
Right. Let me read some of these just to mix it up a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Life is a balance of holding on and letting go.
Yeah.
That's a quote. I'm just reading some quotes here. How about this one? Balance is not something you find. It's something you create. These are just quotes, but take them for whatever they're worth, you know?
Okay.
The key to keeping your balance is knowing when you've lost it. But that. Here's one from John Wooden. Next to love, balance is the most important thing. Focus on being balanced. Success is balance. Here's someone from Epicurus. Be moderate in order to taste the joys of life in abundance. Better learn balance. Oh, here's a fun one here. Better learn balance. Balance is key. Mr. Miyagi. Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. That's Albert Einstein. There's a fine line between stubbornness and stupidity, as well as intensity and insanity. You will never find time for anything. If you want time, you must make it.
Yes.
Life is a tightrope walk. One has to balance the do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
You will never feel truly satisfied with work until you are satisfied by life. To live a more balanced life, glance at the past, live in the present, and focus on the future.
There you go.
Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times.
Yes.
How about this one? Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven.
Oh, that's a good one. I really like that.
You like that one? Go ahead.
Because so many times we miss the timing of doing something. It is now. I got to do this now. So many times we procrastinate and we say, well, I don't have to do that right now. That doesn't matter. I can do it tomorrow. And then we get backed up and we're like, well, I wonder why I forgot to put gas in. I wonder why the car is running out of gas right now, because it's so easy.
Now, I didn't invite you over here to preach to me.
Well, I did not preach. You're talking about season that time.
Behold now.
Behold now is the time to put gas in your gas tank.
There's just that balance. It's so, that word is so, there's so many things. What are we trying to balance? I hate to keep saying this. What is the goal? Mm-hmm. What is the goal? Why are we doing it?
Mm-hmm.
This is and I always say this. I said it. If you don't want to do it right, then don't do it.
Yeah. Think about this one. You're going to like this, okay? To balance a car for regular daily driving, there's certain things you do,
yes, you do
to balance that car for regular. You want to make sure you get your oil changes, you get your gas in the car, you make sure your tires are inflated right or whatever. But if you wanted to balance a car for a race, you would do a lot of different things. If you wanted to, and not only that, it would depend on the race. Because if it's like the Indy 500, you want a vehicle that's going to last a long time in that race. Whereas if you're running down a drag strip trying to beat somebody in the quarter mile, that's a totally different balance. That's a totally different goal. Wow. So I kind of like where you're going with this goal. So, different ways to balance things based on what you're trying to achieve.
So check this out. This is just came when you were saying that. So many times our life is so unbalanced because we're trying to balance it according to what somebody,
like somebody
say,
else says. Right.
Well, you need to be like this, mm-hmm. or I need to be. What do you really need to be doing? How do your life? I mean, my life, you're single, I'm married. There's certain things that I got to do to keep my life balanced that you'll go, I ain't doing that. Why would I have to do that?
Everybody who walked into my place knows that.
Why do I mean, like, you know, but But I help my wife clean up. I do all the cooking.
Not what she's thinking, but go ahead.
I do 80%. Oh, you can ask.
I'm teasing you.
80% of the cooking. I do 80% of the cooking. Now, I could easily go, well, that's the woman's job.
Yeah.
And she should do that.
I hope you like cornflakes.
Well, there's so this balance thing. We get the problem with this balance thing is always... it's up to interpretation because somebody's life may be more balanced than another person's life. And you go, well, they should be doing this or you should be doing this. But should you?
Let me throw a wrench in the mix. You ready?
Yes.
Proverbs 11:1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight.
Correct. No, that's not a wrench. That's good.
No, but we're talking about people who have the wrong idea about balance.
But that's part of the problem is what is the right balance for you?
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The correct balance.
Correct.
The right balance.
Right.
Leviticus 19:36. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, that's a measurement. Mm-hmm. A just hin, that's another measurement. Mm-hmm. Shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. That God demands us to have the right balance. Mm-hmm. The right balance. Mm-hmm. Not cheating people, not cheating ourselves, not cheating the system. Mm-hmm. Not trying to get around the system, not trying to make our own idea of what's balanced or what's correct. Go ahead. What you got, sis?
Going back to, again.
Well, so you're talking about what's the proper scale and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's the answer.
Right.
The Word of God, regardless of whatever endeavor, wherever station in life, whoever you are, wherever, whatever.
Yes.
The Word of God definitely is the scale.
Yes.
The balance to judge one's life against.
Yes.
I'm going to throw another one in there. Absolutely. You ready? Everyone should know this. Shrinkflation. Yeah. Shrinkflation. Do you know what shrinkflation is?
Smaller.
Let's sister, she's got...
Everything's getting smaller while everything's getting more expensive.
Correct.
That's very sad.
We've all experienced the air inside the bag of potato chips.
Yes.
But now there's more air inside the bag of potato chips.
Mm-hmm.
And like you go and you buy, and it's the same price. The price hasn't changed.
It's more expensive.
Right?
Or it gets expensive.
Right.
So you're getting, the packages is the same.
Yeah.
But you get less.
Right. But the...
the contents.
Contents is different.
Right. So that,
and the price that you pay for it.
Right.
Less cost.
The Gatorade bottle is got like a sleek kind of curvy shape to it.
Yes.
And but you know, the reality is it's just less Gatorade.
You know what the catch to that though? If you look down at the bottom and you see 18 ounces, you know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You're buying it. In a way, so to say, oh, this is in balance. You're still paying.
You're the one out of 100 who actually looks at the number.
I have to buy food to.
Yeah, but everybody does. People. But have you ever just like reached inside the cooler at the gas station to buy a soda?
I'm buying for two, bro.
No, I'm just saying. So you're at the gas. Listen.
Yes, even
at listen. Just check this out. You're at the gas station, right? Mm-hmm. You've left your $100 to fill your tank up, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you go back to the cooler. I'm just being real. And so you go back to the cooler, mm-hmm. and you just do. I know that I personally just look for the flavor I want, and I grab a bottle, right? Mm-hmm. No one stops to sit there and say, well, man, this was 12.5 last time. Now it's 11.2. Now, if you do that, I think everybody in this room will agree you're different. You're an anomaly.
That describes Brother
That doesn't
Chris.
Make you bad. I'm glad that you're that aware. But most people are not aware. Most people just reach inside and grab because people are used Have you ever heard this term, the power of legitimacy? Have you ever heard this term, the power of legitimacy?
No, have not.
Okay. If you go into a store, right? Oh, I know a better example. Candid Camera. Remember Candid Camera, the TV show? Okay. So Candid Camera, they did a lot of episodes like this, but one in particular, they put a huge sign over the freeway, and it said Connecticut closed. And they had a whole bunch of people out there with orange vests and hard hats, and they had people with flags, and they were flagging people down. And these, and it was, the sign looked legitimate, you know, and it just, and they had people out there that looked like officials, right? And people were just pulling over, and they were, well, what's going on? He said, well, can't you read the sign? Connecticut's closed. And they were like, well, when's it going to reopen, right? So that a lot of people operate off of this given legitimacy that you know, no one's going to rip me off. You know, Coca-Cola, because Coca-Cola has such a brand name that people do not think that Coca-Cola will intentionally rip them off. They just don't. They just think that Coca-Cola is a legitimate company that's not out to get them. You understand? I understand that we sit here and we have to look at things more skeptical than most people. But people in general live, they have to live off of this assumption that most things are legitimate, right? Most people operate off of a general bar line that most things are operating legitimately. Okay.
That's the problem. That's the problem right there.
There is a problem with that.
And I agree with everything you're saying, but this is, we're talking about balance. We're talking about you want balance. This is balance. You can look at something, you can say
you
that.
You have to be more
people
aware.
People can say that. You, oh, this is what it is. But what does the, is it really 10 ounces? Or you just assuming it because it's in a different.
That's what I got last week.
This is what I got last week. You, again, going back to walking in the woods, did you check the compass? Are you still going in the right direction?
Yeah.
Usually when I go to the store, I have a calendar. A counterbalance. It's called my wife. So I have to balance everything according to her. You know, what I do affects her. Mm-hmm. What I say, whatever is going to affect her in some kind of way. So when I walk in the house and I go, oh, here's the bag of potato chips. And, you know, she's going to expect to be eating the same amount of potato chips that we ate when I bought the last bag. And if she doesn't, I can't blame the store for that. Whose fault is that? That's my fault. A lot of times we don't want balance because we don't want to take the responsibility of that we're unbalanced because we don't want to see the truth about the thing. We make up this thing about how we really are, how things are really are, but it's not factual.
Hey, how about this one here? The scales of justice, balanced justice, equal justice. Because justice is not vengeance. It's not payback. They're not the same. How about this? Considering the... what you got, sister? Go ahead.
Oh, no.
She's just no. Over here. We're over here.
It was a politic thing. You don't want to
know. No. Well, we'll talk about
that's all we said it off the mic.
Off the microphone.
Remember, when you want to just the symbol of justice once in this country is a blindfold.
Once I get a Patreon page going, you can get the extra content. You can get whatever kind of content you want from us, but we ain't got that going right now.
I'm just saying the picture. What is the picture of balance or for justice? It's the lady with the blindfold, so she can't see anything. Yes. She's got a scale in her hand, and it's completely even.
Facts.
So what does that indicate? That everybody receives the same justice, mm-hmm. and nobody's treated correct. Differently. We're all supposed to be treated the same under the system.
Right, and there's a name for that. Facts. It's called utopia.
No. Well, you know, I think I don't think that's the correct term for that.
I understand what you're saying. Let's talk about this, because justice is definitely something that relates
idea.
To...
I said the idea. That's what, what she's supposed to represent.
Correct.
I'm not saying it's ever been done 100%. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that's the symbol that they chose.
Right. Romans talks about unjust judges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see, you can't have... Judges. Again, you know, I'm telling you, I love the last podcast that you guys did. People don't argue the facts. We argue the feelings, how we feel. You don't. How are you not agreeing to my feelings? Go
ahead. Oh, but it's just so true. It's like, when's the last time that you ever listened to people? Okay, even if you do like podcasts, when's the last time that you ever, any YouTuber,
yes,
legit, 100%, if you listen to them, when's the last time you heard a legitimate fact-based Gummies. Argument?
Yes.
But it's all about feeling. I feel like it's okay.
Right.
Or I feel this way. And it's like, but what's the truth?
Well, right. Well, everybody has their own truth.
That's the point. That is the point. That is what we're saying right there. Everybody wants to have their own truth, and everybody wants to have their own balance. But what is the goal? What is the purpose? What is the real purpose of what we're doing here? Because so many times it's so unbalanced because there's more feelings. Read it. You read it.
Consider the beam in thine own eye before examining the mote in another's. Mm-hmm. You like that?
Yes. I think all human beings, at the end of the day, you have to be living for some sort of goal. Now, if your goal is to do nothing and to leave this world without making an impact and just be by yourself, you're going to do everything that you can to accomplish that. But I'm saying, every human being, this idea of a goal, what you're working towards, whether you're a Christian or not, what is your end goal?
Right.
When it's all said and done, or what are you looking
to achieve? But be real about it.
Or
go ahead.
Or maybe say it enough a different way. What is your purpose?
Yes.
What is your
purpose? But what is the real purpose? Not the what I want you to see or what I think it. What is the real purpose? Because so many times people say, I have a purpose. And their purpose is so far, it's like it's made up. And if you don't believe, if you don't feel, what do you mean? I had somebody say to me, and I hate when I get happy when people go, oh bro, can you feel that? I feel God. Oh man, can you? I'm like, no, I don't feel anything. And then they get mad because I don't generalize or
you don't co-sign.
Co-sign on that. Like, what do you mean, bro? You don't feel? Why don't you feel that spirit, man? Where God? And I'm like, bro, you're working something up. That's not true. I mean, if that's what it is, then because I know I have the Spirit of God, it's not a question about it. I don't need someone else to make me feel a certain way so I can say, "Oh, well, I'm spiritual."
You don't need someone to affirm your
feelings. No, thank you. That's the word I kept trying to say.
What you're feeling or what you're thinking. You don't need someone to agree.
Right.
And then you're going to like go all in on it. It's just like, I'm an independent person.
Yes.
I can think what I want.
Isn't it to tread lightly on this, isn't it something, the need to be affirmed?
Yes.
Especially
yes.
This particular month.
Yes.
The need to be affirmed.
That's every month, bro.
Me and brother just talked about this. Yes, you did.
The decision that I want to make.
Yes.
And the lifestyle I want to choose.
Yes.
Because it and don't be against it. Just affirm it.
Right.
You know.
It's a need for affirmation because internally they know that it's wrong.
Right.
So they need other people to co-sign. And it's not just with that. It's with everything.
Of course.
If you feel bad about something and then you're like, oh, what do you think about this? Or you go to a friend and then they tell you the truth, you get mad at them.
Well, misery loves company.
Yes, it does.
They want someone to affirm what they're doing, even if it's wrong.
Yes.
And then if they don't, then, you know, we've all been there,
but
right?
But you can't have... You just cannot have balance. if you don't have the facts. You gotta, even if it doesn't even, and this is, you know, going back to the video, it does not feel good sometime to be balanced because you have to do the hard things. If you want to have muscles, you gotta go to the gym.
You gotta exert effort.
You got to.
Hey, that's also what brother preached on Sunday. You just not. You gotta put some oomph into it.
You can't just say, well, I'm gonna eat proteins. Proteins give muscles. All I'm gonna do is just eat proteins. But I'm never gonna go to the gym. I'm just gonna eat proteins and I'm gonna get muscles. No.
So I got a book over there on the shelf. It's called The Body. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing book. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to teach you how to be a doctor, but the guy really just talks about how complex the body is. Yeah. How amazingly complex and how it's like this amazing chemistry set walking around. Oh, it's right?
Greatest machine ever made.
Right. The Bible says we're wondrously made, right?
Yeah, I mean, I often think like, how can people who like don't believe in God, right? I just being alive and like knowing all the systems, because I studied to be a nurse.
Okay.
So I mean, I had to know every bone, every organ, every function, mm-hmm. right? And how it worked. It is so intricately complex. Like, yeah. It's amazing. And your body does things without you even needing to say to do them, like
yeah.
breathing.
Yeah, breathing, heartbeat.
Yeah, your nervous kidneys, system, right? Like all these out things. Poisons.
Yep, correct.
And it's like, when you think about that, isn't yeah, that amazing?
It,
and
we don't have to sit there and be concerned about it 24
right,
hours a day.
Right. And you just think, and you're like, yeah. How can people dwell in this machine thing?
So this man says, even if you live a poor life, even if you live a life that goes against what you should be doing for your body, it still takes decades for it to tear your body down. It, you know, it's not going to happen like of course, if you poison yourself, you're going to get poisoned. But if you make bad health decisions, it still takes decades for that to finally, you know, destroy your body, because your body is so amazing.
It is.
Your body is so amazing, and God made it that way.
My last point.
Your last point? No. It can't be your last point.
Yes,
you know why?
But why?
Because we have to give people back their 8 minutes from the last episode. From the last episode.
No, but this is it. Balance. And I thought about this. I've been thinking about balance. There, that means there's two sides of the scale. The good and the bad. The hard and the easy. The rich and the poor. Whatever you want. There has... Take away, put on. So many times when we're trying to balance something, we only look at one side of the scale. We don't look at both sides of the scale. What do I need to take out? What do I need to put on? And so, I'm not saying it's easy. Not even, I got this mic in my phone, in my mouth, or not in my mouth, up to my mouth. And it's easy to say things. It's harder to execute things. Balance. When you're balancing something,
right.
You got to have a true, just like that compass, there has to be a true north.
Yes.
There has to be a goal. This is my goal. This is what I want to achieve. And this is what I need to do to accomplish that goal. And when you don't do it that way, I don't care about your feelings. I don't care what you think it is. You're just not balanced. You're not balanced at all. And a true balance, like you all said, from the word of God, God's word is true. Jesus said, I am truth. And if we're not balanced with that truth, we're unbalanced.
Mic drop. That was facts. Yeah. God's word.
Is that all we got for today? Think about the fact of how balanced our universe is. The solar system, the planets. Did you know that our moon is the only moon that we know of that will perfectly mask the sun in an eclipse?
Wow.
It's the only moon that will do that in the entire solar system that we know of. There's no other moon that when it passes in front of the sun, totally covers it just perfectly and you know, and sometimes they have those total eclipses where you can see the, right. the radius around it shining or whatever. That is perfectly aligned and sized and distanced just right.
That's amazing.
To do that.
Isn't that amazing how just out of a chaotic explosion order.
Right.
Perfect, he
perfect,
went
perfect order. Just mm-hmm. just sprung
it's
out.
Well, it's because the Googleplex dice when it was rolled landed on the absolute perfect number in our solar system.
And you know that if the sun or the moon or the earth is just off one thing, just right. one, just anything, everything is off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But right. there's a balance.
Right. So the right conditions in the right solar system
yes. Yes.
on the right planet,
mm-hmm. yes.
given the right conditions to form diverse amount of life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
If you look at like the oceans, like fresh water, oh well, fresh water and then ocean water and then the salt content and how it has to be at a certain level and then like and then it all like balances. That's
you could go down you can go down to the border of Argentina and yeah. see the line in the water where the Pacific Ocean meets the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. I've seen oceans where they meet. It's wild. Because there's like a temperature change and like the salt density. What are you saying? The density of the water is different. So there's like this one will look darker than the other. It's
yeah.
wild. Yeah. There's like things in nature you can't get over.
Right.
It's just crazy.
All because of a big kaboom. There was a big bang. God said, let there be light, and boom, it was light.
No, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as cast, lightning.
Cast out.
Cast out. There was a big boom.
There sure
that
was.
That was the boom.
But
and way. That, my dear friends, is just 7 minutes we robbed from you on Wednesday.
But you only had one person call in and complain about it. So.
Well, I only got one listener, so.
Oh, boy.
Got anything else, Sean?
Hey, this was fun.
It was. God bless you guys.